Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. We are here making it happen. I got David James over there.
Yes,
making
sir.
This thing sound beautifully in your ear. What's going on?
What's going on, TD? Long time.
Yeah, it's definitely. We didn't have you on board last week. You had to do what you had to do with Stillman & Company show. But we're going to really get into wide receiver talk. Obviously, the big news, DeAndre Hopkins signing or intends to sign. We got Chris Sanders, Forever Titans receiver, coming on. We'll get his top 10 receivers in the league list. We'll review Jeremy Fowler's poll. You can find out on ESPN.com, his list of the top 10 receivers. And we're going to dig deep on DeAndre Hopkins. That's only right. So you'll definitely get an opportunity to hear Chris talk about how some of his experiences will be similar to what Hopkins should see with Derrick Henry in the backfield. So that's something we're looking forward to. But first things first, I mean, we got to talk about the deal, right? And it's a big-time deal for the Titans. As it turns out, you know, Carthon, he did his thing, right? And the Titans were able to have a good enough visit to, you know, get Hopkins to sign with them. And I think that's a big move for this team. I tell you, there's a lot involved with that. I mean, they managed to make this thing really work as far as the incentives and everything is concerned. And I think we look overall. So 2-year deal, $26 million. It's going to earn him up to $32 million with incentives. And that first year, you got $12 million guaranteed, incentives up to $15 million. And this is more or less, you know, what Hopkins wanted. You know, he wanted a deal to get paid accordingly. And there's a lot going into that. You look at some of the incentives. I mean, it's like every, 65 receptions, I think it's 250,000. Then it just keeps going up. And I mean, if he gets 90 catches, over 1,000 yards, and double digit touchdowns, there's a big time incentive there. And so you look each year, it's up to $3 million in bonus money he could earn, up to $1 million for receptions, up to $1 million for receiving yards, and up to $1 million for touchdowns. Now, if he hits 95 receptions, 1,050 yards and 10 touchdowns, he gets that full $3 million. So that's a big carrot to hang in front of him. And I think that's going to really help out, you know, what the Titans are looking to do. And that's to make that passing game a lot better. So you look at how he played for Tim Kelly, right? In 2019, we're talking about 104 receptions, you know, so it's very clear that there were opportunities for him to get the football in that offense, and that should happen in this offense. I don't know about 150 targets, you know, with the other guys that you got on the docket there, but I definitely think that he'll get some looks, you know. And in his time there with the Cardinals, specifically that last year, you saw a lot as far as that stretch was concerned. I mean, 9 games, you know, the guy put up numbers and better numbers than anybody on the Titans last year. And obviously there's a lot that goes into that as far as offensive line, et cetera, but still, I think, you know, 64 receptions, 717 yards, 3 touchdowns in 9 games. That's nothing to scoff at. And I feel this addition is really good for the Titans. It really is. Now, how quickly he's going to be able to assimilate is something we're going to have to see. Obviously, you know, he's someone that played, again, in this scheme before, but terminology can change and the scheme itself can evolve. And I think that's something to look at. But you talk about the improvement within the receiver room. Look, the Titans, their drop rates last season were not good. Okay, so overall, just period drop rates, 4.8%. That's 28th in the league. In the red zone, where that's the money area, 7.8. That's tied for 28th. Third down, another money situation, 8.4. Dead last in the NFL. But guess what? You don't have to get into overall red zone and third down with DeAndre Hopkins, because it boils down to this. He had one drop on 95 targets last year, and that's according to ESPN stats and information.
That's insane.
You want to talk about – yeah, I mean, one drop. You want to talk about making your quarterback right? That's definitely the case. That's what he does. You look at improvement in just overall receiving yards, 99.7 receiving yards per game in 14 career games against the Titans. It's one of those situations. If you can't beat them, join them. And they did that in the reverse because that's the third most. Jimmy Smith had 101.5 with the Jaguars, and Antonio Brown had the most, you know, so 105.6. But just some numbers to put out there and put things in perspective, man. This is a really good signing for this team. He'll be 31, but the thing is, when you look at him, he's not the type of receiver that really relies upon explosiveness, speed, and all of that, like a Julio Jones or one of those types whose skills will diminish as they get older. He's a savvy route runner, and he's able to work on positioning and just knowing how to stack a DB, establishing the leverage and all of that type of stuff, you know, on back shoulder throws, et cetera. And I think that's why this, because a lot of Titans fans have said, you know, how do we know this isn't going to be Julio Jones all over again? How do we know it's not going to be Eric Moles, Andre Johnson, Carl Pickens all over again, Randy Moss all over again? Well, it's different, right? Because this is a guy who's not past his prime. The other four, you know, were more or less past their prime. And then Julio Jones had the injury situation. So it's a great, great deal for the Titans. They're going to, you know, have a lot to rely upon. That defense is going to, you know, that are facing them, that they're going to have to balance it out and worry about the passing game. And I'm not saying he's the same as A.J. Brown at all, but he is a legitimate threat as a receiver. And it's something that they haven't had as far as a proven receiver since they traded him away. But that doesn't mean you forget about Treylon Burks. I think Burks is going to have a really good year. So we'll see what happens. We're going to continue to get into this a little more. We'll go to a break. We'll be right back with Run TMC, Chris Sanders.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run TMC. For you.
Let's go.
The lights dim. Music fades. We're gonna go to Chicago. And now, your Chicago Bulls.
Oh, man.
Starting at power forward, number 54, Horace Grant.
And now, starring in the movie Different Strokes, Gary Coleman.
What you talking about, Willis?
What you talking about? Hey, quiet as kept. That's the best show ever, Doc.
Yeah, that's definitely up there, man. That and Judge Judy, right?
Oh, that's a show, man. But you remember when Gary Coleman became that cop and he was trying to arrest people?
Yeah.
He looked like you, kind of.
Afro with the park.
That's true. So what's going on, man? You doing good? What's the word, man?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, a good... something that's good for business happened this week, right?
Absolutely.
DeAndre Hopkins signing. So it's only right we get into that. And I tell you, it's something that we saw coming, you know, talking to different people there at the building. They were really confident that he was going to become a Titan. You know, they loved the presentation. And evidently he did, too, because he signed with them over the Patriots. When you look at the contract itself, right?
So yes.
We got a 2-year deal. That's what we're looking at for DeAndre Hopkins and the Titans.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
2-year deal, $26 million, $12 million guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Incentives up to $15 million. And there's other incentives that could you know, push it even higher in the second year, from what I understand. So I guess that's contract-wise. What are your thoughts on the value there?
You know, I thought it was good, because the thing about it is, I know he, you know, DeAndre Hopkins wanted to get that money to the OBJ guy, but I think it benefits both sides. I think it benefits the Titans that they had to pay him like 18, 19, you know, million a year, but also it's feasible for DeAndre Hopkins that, you know, he's getting $12 million a year, and then also it can jump up to 15. So I think it benefits both sides. I don't think they had to break the bank to try to get him. And I think that, you know, Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon did a great job by also making it good for the team, but also good for DeAndre Hopkins. So it benefits both sides.
Yeah, and the way it's set up, I mean, they have it made that it's going to go ahead and incentivize him to put up a big year. And
yeah, absolutely.
We've seen what he's done before, right, as far as numbers are concerned in this offense. How do you think he fits with the Titans here?
Man, I think he fits very, very well, because the one thing I love that he has, he brings experience, TD. You know, over 10 years in the NFL, 853 yards. I mean, I'm sorry, 853 catches, over 11,000 yards, 71 TDs and 4 Pro Bowls. So this is a guy that's established in the league. You know, he's a guy that he may not be as fast as he was, you know, before, but the one thing that he does is he beats man-to-man coverage. And if you look at the whole situation, how he benefits the Tennessee Titans, he makes Tannehill better, he makes Derrick Henry better, he makes Traylon Burks better, because the thing about it is, a lot of defenses are going to put a lot of tension on Hop and then now let these other guys, you know, run free, because, you know, the one thing they're going to do is they're going to put, you know, eight in the box to try to stop the run. Now you got one-on-one outside. He makes plays and it's going to get one-on-one with Traylon Burks. So he makes everybody better because of the presence of Hopkins.
Yeah, no, without a doubt, I agree with that. And when you look at him fitting into this offense and being able to dominate, you know, the one-on-one coverage,
my gosh.
That's any receiver is going to want that. You know, you welcome that opportunity. How do you think defenses are going to go about addressing this? Like, do you think that's going to cause lighter boxes for Derrick Henry, or do you think they'll still focus on Henry?
I mean, they're still going to put some in the box, but here's the thing that I want you – this is what I want the listeners and to get a visual picture of what we're going to see. Just imagine – the Tennessee Titans going 11 personnel. That's one back, one tight end, and three wide receivers. And I'm going to give you the lineup. You got Derrick Henry in the backfield. You got Chig as the tight end. You got Burks as the wide receiver. You got Kyle Phillips as a slot receiver. And you got B-Hop as the other wide receiver. Who in the heck are you going to stop? You can't stop. If you try to stop the run, they're going to beat you with the pass. If they try to stop the pass, they're going to beat you with the run. So I just think that the teams that the Tennessee Titans play, the defensive coordinator is not going to sleep the night before, because who are you going to stop? If you try to stop Burks, Hopkins is going to beat you. If you try to stop the passing game, then all of a sudden Henry's going to kill you with the outside zone, the inside zone. So what do you do to stop this offense? Because now it went from being okay to being one of the best in the NFL because you added a guy named Hopkins.
What about the way Adam Hopkins pushes everybody into different roles, right? So you got Traylon Burks, who was technically the number one receiver.
Okay.
And then you got Chris Moore, Wes McKinney pushed down to 3 and 4. Kyle Phillips, as the slot that still remains. I want to get into but when you look at Moore and you look at Westbrook McKinney, how does that impact them? As far as the hierarchy is concerned.
You know, we already know the number one position is going to be taken. That's going to be Burks, or it's going to be Hopkins. That's going to be the number one guy. But you have a 1A and a 1B. But then it's a fight for that slot position. I mean, everybody knows that Kyle Phillips can be in there. We forgot about Racy McMaster. We got NWI. You know, guys like that can play. And the one thing that's going to be – I'm not saying disappointed, but it's going to, you know, going to be hard to swallow is NWI has been consistent. He may not make the plays down the field or catch 4 or 5 touchdowns every game, but the one thing he's been consistent. He made plays. He might not have a whole bunch of touchdowns, but sometimes he makes plays down the field. So it's going to be interesting how Tim Kelly's going to have to use the third and fourth receiver. But at the end of the day, when you have one with Burks, two with Hopkins, you got three with Kyle Phillips, where are you going to put these other guys to be in position to make plays? That's what were the questions that we need to be answered.
So you mentioned Kyle Phillips, and when you look at him, he's the guy that I personally, like, I felt this was obviously before Hopkins signed. I felt that he would threaten for the top receptions on the
Absolutely.
Team this year, because I really looked at him as a third down option. How do you think Hopkins comes in How does that affect Kyle Phillips?
I think it's gonna help him a lot. And the reason why I say it's gonna help him a lot, because I think that when you have Hopkins and Burks up there, I think they're gonna put one of their best corners, you know, on one of those guys. So now you're getting a corner that's not as good. If you look at the first game that the Tennessee Titans played when they played against the New York Giants, who was Tannehill looking at on third and fourth down almost every single time? That was Kyle Phillips. I don't think that's going to change, because those other guys with Burks and Hopkins, they're going to create so much attention. So I think that, you know, Kyle Phillips is going to be able to run those choice routes, those slants, those quick out routes, get the ball in his hands, and make those explosive plays.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I really, really like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Him on those choice routes, and that
mm-hmm.
I told him, I said, you know, you run like you remind me of a crab, because you can run forward
yeah.
just as fast as you can run sideways. Like, the quickness is crazy. So you put him in that situation, I think that's going to help. Let's go back a couple years, right, to the 49ers.
Sure, sure.
It was at Thursday Night Football, I think it was. And it seemed like every third down, Ryan Tannehill was going to A.J. Brown. And then even if you remember, late in that game, he threw one.
Ooh.
And A.J., he didn't have late hands. He had a late hand for the touchdown.
Yes, absolutely.
How much do you think that could be something that Tannehill and Hopkins can develop, and how quickly do you think that could be? Whereas it's third down, this is who I'm going to.
Oh, it helps you, and I'm going to give you an example. Just imagine when the blitz comes, and that means you have to get the ball out quickly. You can't go through your first and second and third, but you just got to get rid of the ball quickly. This is where Hopkins' game is so huge. And when I say huge, if you look at the times that Hopkins is catching the ball, he's not running by anybody. I mean, it's close coverage. I mean, the coverage is really close on D-Hopkins, but the thing that he does is his catch rate is amazing. He's got those big old hands. He's got these big old mittens that when the ball's in the air, the way he adjusts to the ball, the way he catches the ball at the highest point, the way he snatches it out the air. So the thing about it is, if they're blitzing and the whole house is coming, I just throw the ball up and let those cats make a play. Because when you blitz, a lot of times you can't play a lot of zone behind. You got to go man-to-man. So what that is, this is why this addition of D-Hop is so good, is because when you get that man-on-man coverage, you just got to throw it up and let a cat make a play. And that's exactly what we're going to have with D-Hop.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how that works. And then, you know, one of the other things that I think, you know, you look at play action, right? And just to drop some numbers in here. So DeAndre Hopkins on play action is one of the best receivers since 2019. And I mentioned 2019 because that's when Tannehill came into the league. And just to give you some numbers here. So you look at, and that's another one that also stands out. I'll get into that as well. So you look at play action, right? And we know the Titans like to do that. We know Ryan Tannehill is
the
best. You look at QBR.
Mm-hmm.
QBR since 2019, when Tannehill got to the Titans, 79 is his QBR. That's first in the NFL on play action.
Wow.
Yards per attempt on play action is 10.5 yards. And then first down percentage, and that was first, by the way. But first down percentage on play action passing is 46%. That's third in the league over that time. DeAndre Hopkins, 99 receptions on play action. That's the eighth most. And you have to remember, he missed basically a full season, 16 games.
A full season. That's crazy.
So that lets you know right there that the play action part of it, I think that's going to be a pretty big aspect that they'll be able to go to.
Oh, 100%, because the thing about it is, the reason why the play action works so well is because who do we have back in the backfield? 22. And the thing about it is, if you don't respect the run, you're going to get beat really, really bad. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. When you go through, when you do your play action and you put that ball out there and you fake like Derrick Henry has the ball, those linebackers are going to cheat up just a little bit. That's all you need. They cheat up a little bit. What comes behind them? Play action, and that's all you need.
Yeah.
And
it's funny because people say, "Oh, well, you know, how can they continuously bite on it. It's I liken it to putting a okay. raw steak in front of a dog, right? You know, the dog's going to have no choice but to go after it. He doesn't yeah. care what else is going on. He's going to go after it. Just like linebackers, I don't listen, man. You that run fake, like they're not yeah. having it. You know what I mean? They're always going to take that step towards the line of scrimmage yeah. or on play action. But then you look at it, yep. right? You've been in a situation where you had a running back that dictates all of the attention. How much mm-hmm. did that help you? You mentioned the linebackers coming up, but just overall, yep. even like with the safeties, with the DB, everything.
Yeah, because they have to pay attention to run. And when I played with the Tennessee Titans, we had Eddie George. I mean, he was the vocal point of our team. So a lot of teams, you know, would put eight in the box to stop Eddie George. So I would run a lot of crossing routes. I run a lot of posts because they have to have an extra safety in the box. So it doesn't just help the running back, it helps everybody on the field. And I'm going to give you a perfect example, and I'm going to tell you how big play action is. You remember when Peyton, the Indianapolis Colts, when they had Peyton Manning, right? They had Edgerrin James in the backfield. What was their specialty? That play action, they made it look like they put the ball in the belly of Edgerrin James, faked it to him. Those linebackers come up. Those safeties step up. Who's running the post for a touchdown?
Yeah, they were getting busy, man. Reggie Wayne or Marvin Harrison.
Reggie, oh, absolutely. With them,
that was crazy. Like, they would do that, and they would have the tight end, Dallas Clark, run the post, too. Or
absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
They were right by the linebacker. And Dallas Clark absolutely. Was fast. But that lets you know that the no. false steps.
Hey, let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question. You got Tim Kelly that's sitting in his office right now. What the heck do you think he's thinking when he's got D-Hop, he's got Treylon Burks, he's got Kyle Phillips, he's got Chig, he got Josh Wiley, he got Tajay Spears. What the heck do you think that this cat is thinking?
Am I going to get all these guys the ball?
No,
that's what I would be thinking. What ways am I going to – what can I do to get these guys the ball? And I tell you something else that's interesting with Tim Kelly, since you mentioned him. And I have a post coming out on D-Hop, and it has mm-hmm. some of this information in there, but I'm going to share it on right here on the podcast too. So you look at the – and you mentioned it earlier, right, about the top corner probably going to be assigned to Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
Not all corners could bump into the slot and cover.
That's what I'm saying.
Slot, right? You know, some
yeah.
corners,
yeah. Yeah.
they're different without that extra defender, the sideline.
Right,
so what do
right.
you do? You move a guy like Hopkins around. And I thought this mm-hmm. number was really interesting because so Tim Kelly took over the Texans offense in 2019, right? 2018, before the year before he took over, Hopkins was in the slot 163 snaps, which is 15.8%. Okay. So it bumped up to 30.2% when Tim Kelly took over.
Oh, wow.
278 snaps. But that was despite playing 110. So Hopkins played 110 less snaps overall in 2019.
Wow.
Under Tim Kelly. But his number of snaps in the slot almost doubled in percentage. So that tells you there's going to be a good chance that Hopkins is going to be in the slot.
Oh, absolutely. Because the thing about, okay, let's just do it like this. Let's even put it in a better perspective. Say you go on a Twins. Who in the heck are you going to cover? You got Hop inside the number two receiver. You got Burks as the number one on the outside. What if both of those cats, you know, run a seam? But here's the thing, not even a seam. Just imagine, you know, D-Hop running a slant, because everybody knows he's got a great catch radius, but everybody knows that he's got, as his run after the catch is flat out amazing. Watch what he does after he gets the ball in his hand. His yak is something that's incredible. So I know we look at his catch radius and his bump and run. Dude, all that stuff is great. But when he gets the ball in his hand, he makes cats miss. So that's why I think he's going to be dangerous in the slot.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Well, look, man, we got into the weeds on that, but that's what we do. And I want to make sure that, you know, we take advantage of your NFL experience and expertise. So. We definitely look forward to continuing to do that. We're going to go ahead and go to a break. I think we're going to do a little overtime. Let's come back.
Let's go. Let's do it, man.
Top 10 ESPN's receivers list. We'll be right back.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
That's right. You heard who brought us back from the break, man. He's number 11 in the program, but number one in Eagles fans' hearts. That's A.J. Brown. I had to go ahead and go back in the archives and use that intro just because we're going over NFL receivers. Chris Sanders, Teron Davenport, he has his top 10 list. We're going to work through that as well as ESPN's. Jeremy Fowler did a poll. And it was different executives and scouts and players and a bunch of things. So he has a top 10 list. And we'll start actually at number 10. And for that list from the poll, he had CeeDee Lamb as number 10. I thought that was interesting because
– Me too.
I think Lamb is really coming into his own as a receiver. Yeah. And that big step that he took – last year, just in being able to, and I wondered about this. I said, how is he going to play when he's going against the Tre'Davious Whites, the Jair Alexander, right, the Jalen Ramseys? Because Amari Cooper's gone. We talked last segment about that number one receiver always drawing the top cover guy.
Right.
And the other receiver being able to eat against whoever else. He's now that guy. What do you think? Who do you have at number 10 and why is yours different?
You know, if I look at number 10, you're talking about a receiver that's been consistent in the league for quite some time. I'm going with that pick that you said, CeeDee Lamb. I think that's a great pick, but I'm going with Mike Evans from Tampa Bay. I mean, yes, that dude has been consistent. He's big. He's physical. And, I know he got injured, a little bit, in his career. But at the end of the day, if you look at his overall career, he's consistent every single year, and he makes the big play all the time.
He's always overlooked. I like that selection. So you
always
have the number 10. You have Mike Evans. So at number 9, this list has Terry McLaurin. And it's an interesting pick. He's a route technician. Yeah. We got to see him when the Titans and Commanders played. I personally would probably push him more into the honorable mention side of things.
Yeah,
but,
right. Yep.
That's their list. Who do you have at number 9?
This guy, when he first got in, when he went to the combine, when he took his shirt off for the coach and he was swole. So I'm going with DK Metcalf. And the reason why I love him is because, you throw the ball up and he can go make the play. He in a couple of years ago, he went into the Olympic trials or something like that. And that cat ran a 10.3. So he's a big physical specimen that will jump over five people to catch the ball. So I got him at number 9 because he's just a specimen and a force to be reckoned with.
I'm not mad at that. You look at last year, right? 90 receptions,
mm-hmm,
over 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. I would like to see them find a way to get him more touches in the red zone and more touchdowns. I don't know if that's going to happen, though, with your fellow The Ohio State University player in Jackson Smith and Jigba. But we'll see there. I'm not mad at that. DK Metcalf at number 9.
Yeah.
Let's see how it goes at number 8. So we're looking at who else? But DK Metcalf, so I guess and the executives are kind of sharing a brain. You had him at 9, they had him at 8. Who do you have at number 8?
I'm going with Hollywood Brown. That's A.J. Brown for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think that Brown is – he's physical, he's big, and you saw what he did in the Super Bowl. When you throw the ball up, he just consistently made plays. And I think this year – or last year, he just came into his own. He finally was, got past the injuries and said, I'm that guy, and he played like that guy. We always hear that saying that I am him, and I watch him playing football. He is he. So I think he's a great, great player, and I got him in number 8.
Yeah. A.J. Brown, I'm not going to be mad at that. I personally would have him a little bit higher. I'm a little biased, but it is what it is. That's who they had, Jeremy Fowler's poll. That's who they had at number 7 is A.J. Brown. And, for me, the biggest – so there's two attributes that always stand out when I think of A.J., and that's the strength, right? And
yes.
I never forget that Raiders game where he caught a pass across the middle, and Darryl Worley is like a 6'1", 200-pound corner, and he just bounced off A.J. like a elementary – kid bouncing off of me, So you have the strength, the yards after the catch. But the other thing that really stands out is the ball skills. The tremendous ball skills. I mean, the way he tracks the football. And I remember talking to him about this, and he told me about how he was a really good center fielder. The Padres drafted him in the 19th round. And he said, tracking the football is easy because all my life I tracked a little baseball playing center field. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really interesting. But once again, you guys are sharing a brain there. You had A.J. Brown at 8. Fowler's list had him at 7. Who's your number 7?
My 7 is Cooper Kupp from the Rams. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I got Cooper Kupp, man, he's so versatile. He might not be the fastest guy of the guys we just listed, but he's consistently always open. You always say this saying, what is Waffle House? They're always open. So he's kind of like Waffle House. He's consistently open. He consistently make plays. I mean, if you look at when they played in the Super Bowl, man, that dude was making some spectacular plays, and he was consistently open. I'm not saying he has more skills than A.J. Brown. I just think he's more versatile than A.J. Brown. That's why I got him at number 7.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you look at the numbers he put up. You know, you look at the numbers, it's proven that he can produce. I remember watching him at the Senior Bowl, right?
He was killing them.
It was so funny because on one-on-ones, like, you know how, like, the DBs are standing on the sideline and the receivers are you know, behind the line or over there by the OC, and they go over and they get to play with the quarterback and they go up. I remember watching the DBs count the reps. And they're like, oh, yeah, you go ahead, man. They weren't trying to face Cooper Kupp in one-on-ones at the Senior Bowl, man.
Yeah, dude, he's a technician, man.
Yeah, very much so, very much so. So speaking of technicians, at number 6, they had Stephon Diggs. And
yep, that's what I got.
I tell you, I would have him much, much higher. Again, this is a poll. This isn't Jeremy Fowler, so don't go on social media and you know, go at him. It's a poll. But when you look at the start and stop ability, the route running, attacking the football, and just having a way of always coming up with the big play, that's Stephon Diggs, man. Who do you have at number 6?
I got Stephon Diggs. I got Stephon Diggs at 6. And I do want him – I want him a little higher – but I just couldn't put him in front of the guys that we're going to name later on. But the one thing I love about Stephon Diggs, we always talk about route running. We always talk about being a technician. We always talk about, you know, how to run routes. The one thing that I love that Stephon Diggs is he lies with his eyes on every single route. He may not be the fastest, but he's consistently he's consistently running by people. You remember when the Titans played him out? I think it was last year. It was last year when they played him, and he was kind of in a tight split, a condensed split, and he ran that post. And he lied with his eyes, and all of a sudden it's a touchdown. That's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. I know he might not be the fastest or the biggest, but the one thing I love about him, he's a technician running routes, and he knows how to lie with his eyes. That's what I catch as at number 6.
Yeah, great example. You know, he looked to that corner route, foot in the ground, and exploded to the post. And, you know, poor Trey Avery, it wasn't good for him. You know what I mean? But, hey. It is what it is. We all get beat. We all, you know, have bad moments. You have mentioned Cooper Kupp at number 7. Well, the poll had him at number 5. And some of his highest ranking was number 1 in that poll. So there were some that picked him as the top receiver in the league. Look, he missed nine games, you know, the ankle injury. He was listed at number 2 last year, you know, so he fell 3 spots. You went over Cooper Kupp. We talked about him a bit. Who do you have at number 5 for your list?
Oh, I love this. I love this dude. This guy is, when he gets the ball in his hands and he's versatile, he can play running back, he can play wide receiver. And when he gets the ball in his hand, it's just electrifying. I'm going with Deebo Samuels. And the reason why I'm going with him, man, he's a guy that can take over the game. We always talk about players that play the game, but we're talking about him being an impact player. When I say impact player, that he changes the stinking game. When he gets the ball in his hand, he's consistently make plays. You put him at running back, you can put him at slot, you can put him on a perimeter, you can have him doing a speed sweep. When he gets the ball in his hand, he makes something happen because he's so electrifying.
Yeah, without a doubt, man. That's a great selection right there. I like that. Deebo Samuel, the wide back. You know, they throw him. He called himself a wide back, running back and receiver. Funny thing, he, along with DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, and Paris Campbell, they all trained together before the combine. Ooh. Imagine that group, man. That's a good to push each other. So at number 4, they had Tyreek Hill. This is tough, man. This is tough.
It is tough.
the last two guys, I'm like, hey, you got to have them higher. You know, Tyreek Hill and Stephon Diggs. But then you look at some of the other guys, and it's like, well, I get it. But, I mean, look, Tyreek Hill, think about these numbers he put up, man. 119 receptions, 1,710 yards, seven touchdowns. Now, the double-digit touchdowns is probably something that would push him up a little bit higher. And the same, well, Diggs had 11. But, you know, I think when it comes to – and everybody points him out as a deep threat, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing I think the Dolphins got him for was that run after the catch. You know, you look at Waddle, they like to hit them on them slants and let them use their speed and run away from everybody. That's what they had at number four. I'm curious who your number four is. Who you got?
Dude, this is so tough. I'm going Ja'Marr Chase from the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, this dude is special. I mean, he came out of LSU, and if you look at a couple of years ago when the Tennessee Titans played them in the playoffs, they needed a play that needed to be made. They do a little screen to him, and he got that offense going. So when you talk about a guy that's a great route runner, he may not have the top speed, you know, as a lot of receivers, but when he gets the ball in his hand, he makes something happen. 2 years ago, they were playing the Kansas City Chiefs. He ran a curl route, and he took it 70 yards. So you're talking about a guy that when he gets the ball in his hand, he has the potential to make a TD every single play. That's why I have him at number four.
70% of the time he catches the football, it's a first down. 70%.
Crazy.
That is something crazy. Well, that's who this poll had at number three. So, again, you guys are right on par. Hey, look at that, man. You're on par with scouts, executives. Maybe you do know what you're talking about after all. Huh?
I'm giving him my all. I gave my all.
So at number two, they had Davante Adams. And, you know, he's another one of those guys where you look at him, mm-hmm. you're like, he's not fast. He's not big. But one thing he is sudden. And you see that in smooth. And you see that in his route running. And he's someone that I was curious how that was going to be, you know, him getting away from Aaron Rodgers, right? He's going to have – I don't know who his quarterback. If Garoppolo's healthy, he'll have him. But he's the number two for this list. So, that's interesting. At number three, like I said, they had Ja'Marr Chase. So, I'll go ahead. You could go and make back-to-back selections. You're number three, and then we'll look at your number two.
My number three is Tyreek Hill. I mean, we just talked about him a minute ago. This guy is electrifying. He, you know, he can take over the game. I've never seen a guy catch a hitch and the safety's way in the back and has an angle on him and he's running by him. I mean, I've never seen that. I did it once or twice, but I almost got caught. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm just saying, you know, he's just one of those guys that are very, very special. Yards out of the catch. Even though he's not a tall guy, he's consistently winning the jump ball. So I have him at my number three. My number two, this is kind of tough. I'm going with Jefferson from the Vikings. Man, I love this guy. I love what he does. I love what he brings to the table. I love his route runner. I love his attitude. I love what he does as a wide receiver. In my opinion, and I say this, and I say this really lightly, he's one of the complete receivers that's in the NFL because his route running, the way he catches the ball, you know, his yards out of the catch, running after the catch, all these things he does to be a wide receiver, that's why I have him in number two.
Yeah, no, I like that selection at number two. And it's funny, there was some pushback, right, for the Vikings drafting him. And the Eagles, they were going to pick him. It was between him and Jalen Reagor out of TCU.
Oh.
And they ended up going Reagor, who ironically is on the Vikings now. But Justin Jefferson, they felt – and a lot of people complained about this. They felt he played in the slot too much. And now, he doesn't really even work out of the slot. 128 receptions, 1,800 yards, 8 touchdowns. Smooth operator right there. That dude is really smooth with his route running. So, man, I tell you, if you don't have him at number one, I'm curious who your number one is. I'll tell you who the number one is for this list, Jeremy Fowler's poll, and it is Justin Jefferson. And his sites, they have Justin Jefferson at number one. His sites, who yours is. His
Davante Adams.
On the record. And we'll see what happens there. But hey, look, 1,800 yards. That Adams, though, 14 touchdowns. So Davante Adams, that's your number one?
Yeah, that's the reason why I say Davante Adams. Number, where everybody knows he's a playmaker. But if you look at all the receivers that are running around from middle school to high school to college, he transformed guys of how to understand how to get off the press. If you look at the things that he does at the line of scrimmage with getting a guy off the spot, line with his, all those things, a lot of people are doing that because of him. If you look at about 17, 18 years ago, nobody was doing those releases. Nobody was lying with his eyes like him. Nobody was doing the hesitation and using his shoulders the way Davante Adams is doing it. I watched this stuff on TV with, you know, with high school kids, you know, doing one-on-one. They're imitating Davante Adams, and that's why I'm saying this guy is special, and that's why he is number one.
No, I really like that, and that makes a lot of sense. And just to your point, right, over the last two or three combines, I always like to ask guys, you know, especially if it's a guy who has a really good release package, like Sky Moore,
yes.
I remember him coming out. Remember, we talked to him. His package, mm-hmm. you know, ability to get off the line was crazy. And I asked him, you know, mm-hmm. who it was that influenced him and who he got a lot of it from. Stephon Diggs, Davante Adams. And I tell you, those two guys consistently come up when you ask younger receivers who are ones that they watch. So that's a great point on your part. So we'll just kind of go back through this list real quick. I'll go ahead and give Jeremy Fowler's list, and it's an interesting one, and it's very much on par with yours. So at number 10, they had CeeDee Lamb. At number 9, Terry McLaurin. I don't know if I put Terry over CeeDee Lamb.
No.
It is what it is.
No.
Number 8, DK Metcalf. Number 7, A.J. Brown. Number 6, Stephon Diggs. Number 5, Cooper Kupp. Number 4, Tyreek Hill. Number 3, Ja'Marr Chase. Number 2, Davante Adams. Number 1, Justin Jefferson. And Chris, you had at number 10, Mike Evans. 9, DK Metcalf. 8, A.J. Brown. 7, Cooper Kupp. 6, Stephon Diggs. 5, Debo Samuel. That's a different name from this list. So you swap out Samuel from McLaurin, which I could understand. 4, Ja'Marr Chase. 3, Tyreek Hill. 2, Justin Jefferson. 1, Davante Adams. One name that is not on this list, and we talked about him this last segment, was DeAndre Hopkins. What was your reasoning for not putting him in that top 10?
I just think that, you know, I'm not saying he doesn't have the skills right now. I just think that the time that he's missed. I mean, if you look at the last 2 years, he's missed 15 games. And I think that that's the only reason why I kind of took him off this list. I know, you know, we talking about that he can make plays, but the reason why he didn't make the list is because I think he missed so many games. And I think this year he's going to have a big year, and I might move him up in the list.
And
that's not a good answer, is it?
No, that's perfect. That's perfect. Hey, listen, what do they say? The most important ability is availability.
Yep.
So it's, that's right on card. And he was an honorable mention in this list. But I wanted to kind of move on to something really quick with these lists since we're doing it. Who is one player that you think can ascend into this list this year that's not on there now?
On my list, I didn't have CeeDee Lamb on there. I think that he can be on that top 10 list, because if you look at last year, at the end of this, like I think from the eighth game on, I think that he started coming to his own, because if you look at Dak was looking for him all the time, and he became a true number one wide receiver. So if it feels me, my list, I would probably, you know, add CeeDee Lamb later on down the road because he's starting to come into his own.
There you have it right there. You got double duty today, man. Appreciate you, Chris.
Always.
Continue to make this thing work. And I tell you what, man. I was watching this movie the other day, and they showed a couple guys on there, and one of them, he had a suit on. Well, they both had suits on, and the one, he was just standing there, and he had this funny laugh, and he got into a fight with this obese woman, and he ended up shooting her in the foot. He shot her pinky toe. That movie was Harlem Nights. And as I'm watching that, my daughter says, "Is that the guy that you do the show with?" I said, "Nah, that's Eddie Murphy." On that note, we are getting up out of here. Appreciate each of you for tuning in. Definitely make sure you check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get your fine listening materials. Talking with TD. Search, subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.